want to remind you of what we've been doing. I started several weeks back just progressively going through the book of Luke, and we're going to be doing this for quite a while. And so let me remind you of the visitations. We've had the visitation of Gabriel to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they would give birth to a child. We had the visitation of Gabriel to Mary and Joseph that they would give birth to a child. We had the visitation of Mary who went to see Elizabeth, stayed with her 3 months, and then she left and John the Baptist was born, circumcised, and named. And then we had the visitation of the Holy Spirit into Zechariah's life to restore his hearing, to restore his voice, and his proclamation of Jesus as Lord. And then Jesus was born in Nazareth, which we talked about last week. There's two more visitations. It's the visits of the angels from heaven to the shepherds, and then the visit of the shepherds from their fields to Jesus. And we're going to cover both of those today. I want to remind you what Warren Wiersbe said about these visitations. He said the account of Jesus' birth is one of the most read passages of Scripture, not only at Christmas time, but throughout the year. And according to him, the birth of Jesus did three things. One, it drew Mary and Joseph out of Nazareth to Bethlehem in the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Second and third are the two we're going to talk about here, is the birth of Jesus drew the angels out of heaven to proclaim the message of heaven on earth. And then thirdly, the birth of Jesus drew the shepherds, the lowly, despised, despicable shepherds, out of their fields into the town of Bethlehem to a stall, a stable where Jesus was born. And that's where we're going to focus. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, if you haven't already, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I want to begin reading at verse number 8. And there were shepherds living out in the field, abiding in the field by night, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel, probably Gabriel again, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone all around them. And they were petrified, they were mortified, they were terrified, they were afraid. This was something they'd never seen. This is something that hadn't happened in many, many years. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, this day, in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he's been born unto you. And he is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, these shepherds were probably Jewish, and they knew the prophecies, but they had experienced, as many all had experienced, there had been a dearth of prophecy. The light of God was not shining in Israel. And they knew that a Messiah would one day come. They yearned for that Messiah to come. They hoped for, but they had all but given up hope that the Messiah would come. And to have this glorious experience of angels from heaven coming and saying, "Fear not, I'm telling you today the Messiah has been born," was a message to these shepherds that changed their lives. Verse 12, "This will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes," the King James says swaddling clothes, "and you will find him lying in a manger, a feeding trough." And you think to yourself, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm listening. "And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with that angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to those whom have his favor rest.'" I think King James says, "And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." "When the angels had left them, and when they had gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off. And they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, when they had spent their time there in the manger, whatever happened that night, they spread the word concerning what they had been told to them about this child. And everyone who heard it was amazed. And I would be amazed too if our nation had been in a dearth of spiritual existence and suddenly there was hope again. And we heard about it happening somewhere else. We'd wonder about it. We'd question it. We'd want to know more about it. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things. And she pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now that verse there, verse 19, is the traditional Christmas verse of focus. That's not going to be ours today. But that Mary focused, treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Why in heaven's name did Jesus come to this earth? I'm going to answer that in two questions in just a moment. I want to put on the screen 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God toward those who haven't earned it or deserve it. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift. For you know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, literally though he lived in heaven, he was the creator of all things, he had everything he needed, though he were yet rich, yet for your sake and mine, he became poor. He came from heaven to earth so that you and I, through his poverty, through his abandonment, might become rich. The richness and fullness of God's grace is here and available to anyone who simply hears the message and receives it as truth. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, meaning Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself nothing, nothing, by taking on the nature of a servant. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. 1 Timothy chapter 3:16. Beyond all question, he says, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And here's what he said. He appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by the angels and testified. He was preached among all the nations. He was believed on in the whole wide world, and then he was taken up into glory that where he is now, he is preparing a place for us according to his own words, that where he is, we might be also. And one day when that trumpet sounds and the blast is heard, everybody will know what it is. He will return. The dead in Christ will rise first. We will be lifted up if we're still alive. We will go home once and for all where we were always intended. That's what the Christmas message is all about. And we need to remember that today. Jesus was not born in some famous hospital in some big city delivered by the most renowned doctors who had ever been practicing. He wasn't given the royal treatment. He didn't have a chariot to bring him home. There was no paparazzi following him with cameras. CNN and Fox News and CBS and NBC and ABC, they weren't there. And if had they been there, they wouldn't have cared. The world doesn't care. But God does care. And he cares for us. He was born in a dirty stable. He didn't have a doctor or a nurse or a midwife. He didn't have even family members of Mary to help deliver this child. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes that didn't meet the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008 that regulates what children wear or sleep in. He was in swaddling, dirty, nasty clothes. He was put in a feeding trough that was not approved by Consumer Product Safety Commission of that same year, which sets the minimum standards for all infant and toddler products, including cribs. And by the way, if the innkeeper had a surprise visit from DHEC, he would have been found in violation of multiple codes overcrowding, false advertisement, cleanliness or lack of, use of inadequate products to clean. There were roaches and critters all over that stable, and there was feces products from the animals. D-Heck would have rated them F and closed the door. That's where Jesus was born. But God chose a more spectacular way to announce the advent of his salvation to the world. He used the angels from heaven who announced the birth to the shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. This is the greatest Hallmark story ever told. It is the greatest story ever told. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one whose grace forgives us of our sin, has come into our lives that we might know him personally and be saved by his grace that he gives to us liberally. He came among common people, not the royalty. And he was not introduced by any of those others. He was introduced by the shepherds themselves. The shepherds, they were despised. They were the outcast of society. In fact, those who were Jewish shepherds weren't allowed to come to the temple very often, if at all. They were considered unclean. And they had to go through extra special cleansing to become able to approach the temple to worship God. Praise God, that's not the case now. The veil has been opened. The veil was torn in two. We are able to come before God personally, and that's what God always wants. And what we learn here from the very beginning is God doesn't call the rich and the mighty till he's chosen the poor and the lowly. I hope you don't consider yourself rich and mighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have this on the screen because there's a lot of it. But I want to read it to you. And I want you to listen to what Paul was saying about this whole process of how God came into our life. He said, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God, at his very weakness, if God has a weakness, it is stronger than the strongest human." He says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were first called. Think about what it was like before you knew Jesus." And I had the privilege yesterday, I went to buy some bales of hay or straw because we got to fix this bank, put some seed down to keep it from washing away. Too late. But anyway, while we're standing there, I get into a conversation with these guys at the feed and seed, and one thing led to the next, and I went, there it is. And so for whatever reason, somebody made a comment about the boy that loaded going home and getting a beer. And I said, you know, I'm a teetotaler. Just went right in there, full face, full, didn't know where it was going to go. And one thing led to the next, to make a word for Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Did I win them to the Lord? No. Did I lead them through the Romans road? No. Did I? I shared that God was in my life. I told them about the miraculous change that happened in my dad's life when I was 12 years old. When he came to know Jesus Christ, followed through with baptism, my dad changed. It was a new life. He remembered what it was before, and he knew what it was after. I remember what it was like in his life before. I knew what it was like. I know what my life would be like without Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Not many of you were wise in human standards, Paul says. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth, he says. But God chose these foolish things of the world to shame the wise. One day, there's going to be a lot of politically correct, spiritually lost people standing before God. And it's going to be too late. The opportunity that we all have, the whole world has. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, Paul says. God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things of the world, and the things that are not cared for and wanted in the world to nullify all these things so that no one could boast about himself. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is, He is our righteousness, He is our holiness, and He is our redemption. He's our everything. There's nothing about us that's worth anything before God except God's love. Therefore, Paul says, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've already said this. It's interesting that God came to these lowly, despised, rejected, unclean shepherds. And what did Jesus become? Not the king of royalty, not the general of the army, but He became for us the good shepherd. He is for us our good shepherd. So why in heaven's name did God come to earth through His Son Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to rephrase that in two more questions from this scripture that we've read. First question is this: why were the angels in heaven drawn down from the heavens to earth? Why did this part of the story take place at the moment that it, well, the answer is found in some of the wording, and I'm just going to give it to you, move right through it real quickly. The first thing that you see is the glory of God shone all around them. They had lived in 400 years of darkness, silence, religious and spiritual depravity. They hadn't had anyone prophesying. There were no great preachers. There was no one teaching them like they once were taught. There was a lostness. There was a hopelessness, and there was a darkness. And when you are lost and feel hopeless, there's a darkness that enters into your life. We went to see Adrift. They could have left out the one nudity scene, and they could have left out several words, and it would have been just as powerful, but they got to put it in there. It's Hollywood. But there was a hopelessness, and there was a lostness as this woman was adrift for 47 days. And I'm not going to tell you the outcome, because you might want to go see it. Just overlook those two things. When we're lost, there's a hopelessness, there's a darkness, there's an hallucinations that enter into our heart and our life. And we don't know which way to turn, but the light of God lit up the night. And they felt the power and the presence of God in their life. That's why they came. And they came to look at the afraid, scared shepherds, and they said, do not be afraid. The message was a message of hope, not fear, of light, not darkness. And then they said, we have good news of great joy that will be to all the people. They have brought us the good news, the gospel message that the Messiah has come and He's here today for you and for me. And then the last thing they said is peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. They came to bring peace, not war. And so there they are. Why did the angels come? That's why they came. They came from heaven to earth with a message of God's plan of salvation, and this is how it began. Not like we would have written it, not like the world wanted it to be, but the way God chose it to be for all mankind. Question number two. Then why did the shepherds, why were they drawn out of the fields to Bethlehem? And once again, it's the words of Scripture that Luke wrote down that reveal a lot of things to us. It says, they said, well, let us go to Bethlehem. If you read it properly in the Greek, it says, let us go even to Bethlehem. What's in Bethlehem? The Lord is in Bethlehem, according to the message. And they said, so let's go even to Bethlehem. I know you think it's crazy, but that's where we need to go. It was inconvenient. It was inconsistent with their thinking. It was inconceivable that something good would come out of Bethlehem, but that's where they went. The second thing, they said, let us go even to Bethlehem to see this thing. It's one thing to hear me preach it, but it's another thing to open up God's Word and read it and study it and let the Holy Spirit so that you can experience it. That's why they went even to Bethlehem. They wanted to experience this thing the angels had told them all about. And it says they hurried off. They didn't make any waste of time to get there. They were in a hurry. They had heard the they had been confronted by the presence of God in their life. They had heard the message of the angels, and they were ready to go. You see, I've heard, and you've heard stories of people in revival times and during church services, and they've sat there in that final hymn, and their knuckles turn white. And as they grip the pew in front of them, or they hold onto that Bible, and they sing the old phrase, I shall not be moved. And they sit there, and when the service is over, they go home worse off than they ever were before they came. Because what they've done is they've rejected the message that they've been given from heaven to earth. And then it says when they arrived there, they found it. They found Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus says. If you seek me, you will find me. And if you want me, I will be there. And if you'll open the door, I'll come in. And you and I will become eating buddies. Listen, there's nothing better than finding an eating buddy. To have an eating buddy. Hey, let's go eat. You know what that's like. If you don't have an eating buddy, they found more than an eating buddy. They found God. They found the Lord. And it says one more thing. They spread the word. They told others about Jesus. Look what the angel said. Look what it means from the prophecy of the Old Testament. Look how it affects our life. Look at what's going to happen in the future. Look at all these things that's going on in our life. We've got another team that'll be going to Oaxaca, and we're still building that relationship. The church that we're partnering with, beginning this partnership with, they were formed because they were over here in a bigger church. And this bigger church started denying the basic principles of Christianity. They were literally denying the Ten Commandments. And so a handful of people came out of that church and said, we can't abide by that. And they left. Just a handful of people, and they moved to a new community, and they began to pray, and they began to seek God's message. And about that time, a children's organization came along and said, listen, we've got all these children. We're trying to feed them. And if you'll feed them, we'll pay you to feed them, or we'll pay for the food. And one thing led to the next, and this little church, handful, has grown into a, it's a small church, but it's a strong church that wants to reach children for Jesus Christ. Do you think God had anything to do with this church's mindset about children getting linked up a couple thousand miles away in Oaxaca with a church that has a mindset for children? Does that happen by accident? Absolutely not. God ordained it, put it together, brought us together. We got another team going down. Randy McManamay, Alan Addis, Gary Freeman, and Lauren Bedingfield from our church, two from another church that may be partnering with us to go into this process of reaching and teaching and helping this church not only grow with these children, but begin to learn how they can reach out into communities. I want you to be praying about that. We still need more because we need to be going more often. And it's like me, I can't go every 3 months. Well, I could, but there are chances and opportunity for others. And I want you to support Lauren. She doesn't have the big professional expense budget that Ray and I have. She needs a little help financially. I want you to help her. If you want to help her, tell me, and I'll tell you how to do that. But we're taking the word of Jesus Christ to more children in Mexico. It's what the shepherds did. They went and told everybody they could come in contact with. Now, if we didn't go there on purpose, God couldn't show us where He wanted us on purpose so that that could be done. The message of this scripture that jumped out on me was, why did the angels come from heaven to earth? Why did the shepherds leave their fields and go to Bethlehem? Because God said to. What's God said to you this morning? What has He said? What's He told you? What's He saying right now? I promise you, like an illustration of holding on to the pew with bare knuckles, if you do that, God, you just ignore it, you'll be worse off than you ever were when you got here. But if you'll open up and say, not my will but thine be done. If wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you say, I'll do. If you'll just be obedient. You'll say, now I'm afraid. The angels will say, fear not. I'm scared. I don't know which way to go. The light will shine. And you will find what God wants you to find. Let's pray. I do thank you, Lord. What a great, great Christmas message. Over and over and over again, we need to hear it. The angels came from heaven. The shepherds left their flocks and went to Bethlehem. All of this was because you ordained many thousands of years before the process in which you would bring the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ, into our lives. And so today you still call us like you did the disciples by the riverside or by the lake. Well, like you did others when you preached at the temple or when you walked through their city or town. You still call us today. You call us to salvation through grace, and then you call us to service through obedience. Help us today to hear your voice and obey your word and follow wherever you lead so that your name, like the shepherds did, will be glorified. And others will ask questions. Others will say, what's that about? And one by one, they'll be won to Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us of our sin. Now speak to us, move us out this place into the world of service to glorify your name. In Christ we pray. Amen. More about Jesus. More and more and more about Jesus. Let's stand, sing a great old hymn of our faith. Let's listen to what God says and let's respond as God tells us to respond. Whatever was on your mind this morning as you came here, I hope you weren't distracted, but I believe that we can be focused as we leave. Whatever difficulties, whatever prayer concerns, whatever troubles, whatever, that we can ask God to help us in that so that He'll deal with those things as we go out these doors, so that we can be that light that shines like the angels glowed that night. And go even to Bethlehem. What would be your Bethlehem? Your Bethlehem may be that person you have been avoiding. Your Bethlehem may be that place you won't go. That thing you might not do. That service you won't provide. I don't know what that might be for you. I'm not doing any subliminal suggestions. But I believe God will answer your prayers. So let's pray for those answers today. As we dismiss, let's pray. Father, thank you for today, for what the angels, what the shepherds have taught us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. So we proclaim that good news in our lives, and out these door we go, to be a light that shines in a dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.